Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
One of the most power-packed and dynamic phrases in all of Scripture is our focus today. And they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. God's plan was revealed, and God's plan is fulfilled when Jesus came to this earth to die in your place and to die for our sins. In fact, it's very important that we understand that when he came, he was not simply just another baby, for Jesus was the promised Messiah, the long-promised Messiah, who is going to be the Son of the living God. When Matthew listed his genealogy over in the first verse and the first chapter of Matthew, he talked about Jesus being son of David, son of Abraham. Son of David means that he is of a royal lineage. And son of Abraham means that he is of a Jewish lineage. And what this tells us today is that God was working out his plan for this promised Messiah to come at this particular moment, at this particular time, in God's perfect timing. In fact, we know that from the book of Galatians, in the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, we read these words, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. And when you look at the verse that we spoke from last week, on all of our campuses, in the 10 worship services on Sunday morning that go on through Cross Church, each of us spoke from that powerful verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So now, with the very first phrase that we used when we came in, that is listed in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23, about him being Emmanuel, which is the prophetic word given in the 7th chapter of Isaiah in verse number 14. That is what Matthew quotes. We see here today that there are 2 designations, 2 names about the same person. Now, I want to give you an important observation about this and distinction of the two. First of all, Jesus. Jesus denotes what he does. Now, what does Jesus do? Jesus saves. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He came to save his people from their sin. And then we know that he is not only the name Jesus, but the name Emmanuel denotes what? It denotes who he is. Who he is. Who is he? He is God with us. So while we look at Jesus, speaking of the same person now, Jesus, it's what he does. He saves. And when the reference is to Emmanuel, it's telling you more, an insight about who he is and who is he. He is the one that is God with us. So Emmanuel describes for us the work of Jesus. And Emmanuel describes for us the ongoing power of Jesus in our lives. In fact, when you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and you look at it as referred to in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that it's not a reference to just any child, but it's a reference to the living Son of God. So Emmanuel not only means God is with us, but Emmanuel means God be with us. It is not only a reference in relationship to the presence of Jesus now with us, but it's a reference to Jesus and his presence with us in the future. So Emmanuel also means God is with us and God be with us. And when we look at this today, we realize that if we will spend the time and we will do the discipline of study and our work in theology, and we understand what the Bible tells us, and if we will pay the price to mine the power of the Holy Scripture, which comes through study and the illumination of the Spirit, then we're going to learn today something that is very, very powerful relating to Emmanuel, meaning God with us, that it is a deep and a powerful reference to Jesus. In fact, it is such a deep and a powerful reference to Jesus that you really have to stop long enough and grasp and understand its value. It's a reference, first of all, to Jesus' divinity. So when you look at the name Emmanuel, God is with us, God be with us, it is a designation, a reference to Jesus' divinity. What do we mean when we talk about Jesus' divinity? We mean that Jesus is divine, meaning that Jesus is what? Jesus is God. You say, let's unpack that some. All right, I'll be glad to. Jesus is not just a son, but Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is not just born of a woman, but he is born of a virgin girl by the name of Mary. Jesus is divine. He was not simply from the seed of a man. In fact, he was not from the seed of a man, but he was of the conception of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus was not simply just another baby born of a natural birth, but Jesus was a baby who was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born in a miraculous manner. So when you unpack that Jesus is divine, you have to unpack this phrase. Jesus is fully God. God with us. You can say it like this. Jesus is 100% God. I want to tell you today, this is very important for us to understand. And you need to be able to articulate this in a good manner as you do the work of standing in your faith, sharing your faith, talking about your faith, the work of what we would call apologetics, being able to articulate what you believe and why you believe it. Because there are people all over the marketplaces of Northwest Arkansas, all over the schools of Northwest Arkansas, all over the neighborhoods of Northwest Arkansas, that do not believe that Jesus is God, that do not believe that Jesus is divine. You see, when you see the name Emmanuel, This is a deep theological statement about Jesus' divinity, a statement of what we would call teaching us about the Christology of Jesus. For our men and women who have been through the course, some course on the divinity of Christ or on Jesus Christ, perhaps at the collegiate or the master's or the doctorate level of theology, know we call that the study of Christology, what we believe about Jesus Christ. It's so important that we grasp it and we understand it. You see, He is fully God. He is the Anointed One. Not just a Son, but the promised Messiah. Are you listening? Jesus is the Messiah. And when you go down even deeper than that, let me go just to one level deeper. And that is that Jesus is God incarnate. Many of you have heard that phrase, God incarnate. What does that mean? It means that God in the flesh, that's what Jesus is. And that Jesus is divine. So what you have when Jesus came to this earth, you have God who all of a sudden began to be wrapped in human flesh for all of the world to view and all of the world to see. And He lived out, what? A sinless life as the divine Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world. So Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh. Jesus is divine. In fact, if you will remember this powerful phrase and verse over in the Gospel of John, in verse number 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed His glory, the glory as of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, as you look at that verse on the screens today, or in the Bible that you hold in your hand, the Word, the living Word, the eternal Word of God became flesh. And what did He do? The Bible says that He came to dwell, to tabernacle is the word. He came to tabernacle among us. And what we were able to do, look at what the Scripture says. Read it slowly. We observed His glory. That word glory is the word presence, meaning the presence of God. And that glory was of the one and only Son. The one and only Son. Where did He come from? From the Father. What do we believe He is? Jesus is fully divine. He is divinity, 100% God. And when you look at Him, what does he live? What does He image? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. He is grace. He is truth. The Son of the living God. Oh, listen. Emmanuel's initial fulfillment is a deeply theological and powerful phrase about Jesus' divinity. In fact, I'll go even one step deeper, and that is the word Shekinah. You remember over in the Old Testament when it spoke of the Holy of Holies, it was a reference to the glory of God. It was a reference to the presence of God. In fact, the Bible says it was the Shekinah glory of God, a special glory of God, a theophany of the presence of God happened. Listen carefully. This Shekinah glory of God is what came to this earth to be seen by all men and women in His day. And this Shekinah glory of God, He dwelled among us and He was wrapped in the form of human flesh. So the Shekinah glory of God came to live in this world. And we were able to behold Him, to see Him as He is. And thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the gospel writers who saw Him, who witnessed it, and share with us what He was like, who he is, and from there we learn about him. But not only is it a strong statement about Jesus' divinity, that name Emmanuel goes deeper than that. And that is, it is a strong statement about Jesus' humanity, his humanity. Oh, you talk about powerful. This even takes it up further. Jesus was not just fully God. Jesus was fully man. I'm not following you. Follow me. Jesus was 100% God, and Jesus was 100% man. You say, I don't get that. He had to be 50-50. He wasn't 50-50 anything. He was fully God, fully man. 100% God, 100% man. Jesus was not only the Son of God, listen to me now, but he was also the Son of Man. You know what Jesus' favorite saying was about himself? That he was the Son of Man. You know why he liked that? Because he identified with you and identified with me in his humanity. So Jesus was not just fully God, but he was fully man. Jesus' birth to a virgin girl is divine, but hear me now. Jesus' clothing of human flesh is Jesus' humanity. And Jesus' divinity, his divine nature, did not protect him, nor did it preserve him from the frailties of humanity, the pains of humanity. If it would have, he would not have died. He would not identify with our pain and with our suffering. In fact, the book of Hebrews gives us insight here, because the book of Hebrews declares that Jesus is the Son of God. And then the book of Hebrews says that this Son of God became my great high priest who lives to make intercession for me. In other words, one of Jesus' main roles, now that he is on the right hand of the Father, is to pray for you. If you know God, he is praying for you. You ever wonder if somebody's praying for you? Listen, you're covered. The Son of God's got you. He's praying for you. He is ever interceding for you, standing between you and standing between God himself. But listen, all that was important, because Hebrews also equates this divine Jesus who understood our pain, that he was not simply any high priest. He was the great high priest, fully God, fully man. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, yet without sin." That means that he could have sinned, but he didn't sin. He was fully God, but he was fully man. He dealt with the same pain, the same frailties, the same temptations as you did. And what set him apart is that he said no when you said yes. And when you said no, he would say yes. He was different than you and different than me. There's never been one like him. That's why the Bible says he's the one and only Son. You know what that phrase means? He is a one-of-a-kind Savior and a one-of-a-kind Lord. Nobody like him, never will be anybody like him. He's the Son of the living God. So even though Jesus sympathizes and understands human weakness, Jesus has never sinned. So let me put all this together for you today, and let me help you through this journey. Emmanuel, God is with us. Follow me now. Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully man. Jesus without sin. And Jesus saves people from their sins. I want you to think through that statement. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully man. Jesus is without sin. Jesus saves his people from their sins. And the only reason he could save his people from their sins is that he was God and he was man and he did not choose to sin. Now, some of you, you might think, okay, I don't get all this. I don't understand it. And you know what they say? Doctrine's not important at all. Let me just tell you today. You need to never, never, never be a person that says doctrine is not important. Amen. You better know what you believe or you're not going to live right. And you can't live out your Christianity if you do not believe that Jesus is divine and Jesus is fully human. When people say doctrine's not important, you need to give them a good old Arkansas word. Hogwash. It is important. Now, there are things that are primary and there are things that are secondary. But let me tell you one thing that is not secondary, and that is the Christology of Christ, the divinity and the humanity of Christ and the saving ability of Jesus. That is non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. We may debate about whether or not Jesus is going to come before the tribulation or in the middle of the tribulation or after the tribulation or when it's all said and done and when he wants to. We can debate that, but we don't need to debate that he is the coming Savior. Amen. He is coming again. You see, it's very important, and there are people that you meet every day in your life that do not believe that they are able to be saved. They do. They just don't think they're good enough. Well, they're not good enough, just like you're not good enough. I was reminded this week in the study, as I was in the Word, about the prophet Zephaniah. The prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah talked about Jesus. He prophesied about Jesus. You say, who is Zephaniah? Well, Zephaniah is a prophet, and he has a book in the Old Testament. Did you know he had a book in the Old Testament? You need to read that book before you go to heaven, because when Zephaniah meets you, he's going to ask you, did you read my book? And it's only 3 chapters, I believe. It's one you can read. But let me tell you one of the great things about Zephaniah. Zephaniah believed in a mighty Savior. And he believed that this coming Messiah was going to be a mighty Savior. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is among you. He is mighty to save, mighty to save, mighty to save. You believe that today? I don't care what you've done in your life. You have not out-sinned yourself away from God being able to save you. You can be an adulterer, you can be a killer, you can be a serial killer, but if you will repent of your sin and you will come by faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, he has the power to save you. He is mighty to save. No one is outside the ability to be saved. That's how great of a God we have. So Emmanuel is God with us. Deep and powerful reference to Jesus, his divinity, his humanity. And you talk about when you put the divinity and the humanity of Jesus together, you talk about implications about how you live out your what? Your Christianity. That will impact you in living out your Christianity. First word, divinity. Second word, humanity. Third word is Christianity. Because when you put and you understand with your mind, the ability that he's 100% God, he's 100% man. He knows every weakness I have. He identifies with my weakness. He never sinned. He's mighty to save. He saved me. And now he is able to live out through me Christianity. He's able to help me model what I believe. I want to remind you of what I stated earlier today. God is with us. God be with us. It is a reference to the now of Jesus' presence, but it's also a reference to the future of Jesus' presence being with us. You see, when you understand the power of Emmanuel, you understand that Emmanuel is empowering you to live out your Christianity, to live out your Christianity. And this affects the way we live. I mean, when you believe Jesus is divine and you believe Jesus is human, that's going to give you some powerful implications of how you live out your faith. I want to show you that about the disciples. The disciples were on a journey trying to figure out who Jesus was. And that's what they lived in. That's what they dealt with. I mean, they don't have the benefit of Scripture like we did. The Old Testament they did. But they didn't have the benefit of all of a sudden this man came and here he is walking on the water and here he is healing people and raising the dead and all these things. I mean, this is like really different. But I want to show you something in the book of Matthew today. In the book of Matthew, and I'm not going to put this on the screen for you, but it talks about how Emmanuel, God, is with us and he is being with us, helping us live out our Christianity. Let me show you the way he did this with the disciples. For example, Matthew 8, 23 through 27, Jesus was with the disciples in the midst of the storm. Those of you who have been to Israel with me, and you've been on the Sea of Galilee, and you remember the stories about the storm coming up on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden it would be the raging sea all around you. And Jesus, what did he do? He walked on the water, and he was able to come, and he was able to what? Still the water. You know why he could still the water? Fully God, fully man. He was there before all time and made the water. Well, he was with them in the midst of their storm. Then over in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 14, they were trying to figure out how to live out their faith. They were trying to figure out how to minister to people, and Jesus was with them there. He's always with people there. And then in Matthew 22, verse 15 through 22, verse 34 through 37, Jesus was with his disciples through all their relationship decisions. There were a lot of relationship decisions. Those relationship decisions are never easy. They weren't easy for the disciples. They're not going to be easy for you. The tensions and the challenges of relationships. And then we know that according to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that when Jesus told his disciples to go and share the gospel with the world, he gave them the authority of Jesus to do so in verse 18, and he gave them the presence of Jesus to be with them until the end. In other words, it didn't matter where they were going, he was going to walk with them. Now, why is that important? I want to show you why that's important. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, as recorded by Matthew, does not just model that he's the Savior who came to take away our sin and to take away the penalty of our sin, but he is a Savior who has come to walk with you and to help you live out your Christianity because he is divine, because he is human. And as you live out your Christianity, let me show the way Jesus is with you. He is with you in the midst of your storms. The disciples were not the only people with the storms. You have storms. There are some of you today in some pretty raging storms in your life. Some of you have had a bad diagnosis. Some of you are walking through change in your life. You're walking through transition. You're walking through decision making. You're walking through the grief and the loss and the pain and the reminders during this Thanksgiving and Christmas season. Some of you are walking through some deep stuff financially, perhaps your job. Doesn't matter what the crisis is, I want to share with you today, Jesus is in the midst of your storm. He's in the midst of your storm. He's the sovereign divine one and the sovereign human one that understands what you're going through. Yet, he never sinned. And he's with you as Emmanuel to help you in the midst of your storms. I've said this for years and believe it firmly. You're either going into a storm, you are in a storm, or you are coming out of a storm in your life. You say, well, that's not very hopeful. Well, I was hoping the Christian life would be one without storms. Well, you're going to have to die and go to heaven to be without storms. All right? Because as long as you are in this flesh, You're going to be walking through storms. But here's the message of Christianity. This is Emmanuel walking in the midst of the storms with you. He is with you in the midst of the storms. Jesus is also with you through the challenges of living out your faith. Even the disciples had a struggle of living out their faith. It wasn't easy to live out what they saw Jesus do. They tried and they failed many times. It's not easy for you. It's not easy for some of you to live out your faith in relationship to fulfilling your calling in your life. It might be difficult on the job to live out your faith. For some of you, it might be difficult for you to live out your faith in relationship to your family. Some of you ladies go home to a husband that doesn't know God. Or perhaps some of you men have a wife that has never met Christ. It's not easy to live out your faith when you have a mom and a daddy that doesn't know the Lord, and yet your life has been changed by the power of Christ. Living out your faith at a school, no matter what school it is not always easy. We will have university students go home this year from our university here. Some of them have been saved. They will cross over the waters that surround our nation. And when they testify to their mom or their dad that they were saved, they may never be able to come back to college again. Or they may be disowned when they pronounce their faith. That is real life stuff happens every day. What we need to understand is that there is a price for living out your faith. But here it is. Jesus is with you when you live out your faith. You saw the story in the video of Josue and his wife and his girls living out their faith. What a testimony. What a testimony. There was a price. They had to end up leaving and being preserved, being taken care of. And God prevailed because Jesus was with them in the midst of their persecution storm as they lived out their faith. Jesus will be with you through relational tensions and relational decisions. Oh, I tell you what, living your faith out is not easy through relationships. You know, if it wouldn't be for people, you could live for Jesus pretty easily. You ever thought about that? But the problem is you got to live life. And when you live life, you got to live with people. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus will be with you as you live out your relational tensions and your decisions. You're in a bad marriage, Jesus is with you. You're in a bad employer, or bad employee, Jesus is with you. No matter what it is, what you're walking through, He is with you. And He'll be with you as you spread out the gospel, spread the gospel, and you live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of that is so important because wherever you go, He's with you. He'll be with you with His authority, and He'll be with you to the ends of the earth. All of that is powerful. And what I'm about to do in these closing moments is take all that and I'm going to elevate it into the dynamic presence of Jesus, perhaps like you've never seen it. Let me remind you, if you've ever read the book of Isaiah, you may have noticed in the book of Isaiah that Isaiah prophesied that there would be a day when there was extreme darkness. But then out of nowhere, there would come a great light. And that great light would be the promised Messiah, the Son of the living God, who would be the hope for all of the world. And this great light would have the Spirit of God resting on him, the Bible says. For he would be the promised Messiah. God with us. God be with us. God is that great light. And look what the Bible teaches us, a verse that we read at Christmas time. We may even sing about this verse at Christmas time. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. What a powerful verse. What a powerful phrase. Look at it again, chapter 9, verse 6. A child will be born for us. The promised Messiah, not just a baby, but a promised Messiah who came, who was fully God and fully man. And what did he do? He would be given for us. Not only a baby, but he was the living Son of God who would die for the sins of the world, including my sins, and he would die in my place. And all of the powers of heaven and earth were in his hands, and they would rest on his shoulders, and he carried that burden all the way to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And as Emmanuel, God is with us, and God be with us, he will be what to you? Isaiah declares it in 9 verse 6. He will be what? He will be Wonderful Counselor, who will give you supernatural wisdom through your life. Supernatural wisdom through your life. Some of you may go to a human counselor, and that human counselor can help you. And I pray that they will help you. But I want to introduce to you also a counselor who is a Wonderful Counselor. He is the living Son of God, the one who can give you divine presence and divine wisdom for your life. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. It is you seeing what God sees. Think about that. If you had supernatural wisdom, you could see situations as God sees those situations. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 said that when Emmanuel came, he became the mighty God who would be able to be that Wonderful Counselor, who would be able to show you what God is and what God says and what God means in the situations of your life. You have a Wonderful Counselor when Emmanuel has come. But he's also the mighty God. He's the mighty God who will empower you through the battles in your life. Oh, I tell you what, battles are real, are they not? Every day is a battle. And you go through multiple battles every day in the battle you're walking through. Battles are real, but there is a mighty God. Remember what Zephaniah said. There is a mighty Savior who is mighty to save, even through the battles of your life. You remember over in the book of Chronicles, when Jehoshaphat the king was surrounded by the armies. And there he had God's army with him. But he was surrounded by army after army after army, and all hope was gone. The Bible says the Spirit of God came on a man named Jehaziel. Be a good name for one of your children one day. Jehaziel. Came on Jehaziel, and Jehaziel declared to King Jehoshaphat. What did he say to him? King Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. Stand you still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, teenagers today, listen carefully. He is the mighty God who will empower you through the battles of your life. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father. That means the everlasting Father who will care for you compassionately. God cares for you. There are a lot of people today, they have a hard time imagining a father who cares. Well, let me tell you about a father who didn't abuse you. A father who didn't take advantage of you. But a father who cares for you compassionately. That's who our Father is. He is the everlasting Father. That's why I like for us to sing that song. He is a good, good Father. Because that's exactly who he is. He is a good, good father. You can go with him because he is the everlasting Father who cares for you compassionately. Some of you every now and then get down in the dumps because you don't think anybody cares for you. God cares for you. And you have an everlasting Father who cares for you compassionately. And then the Bible says, not only will this Emmanuel come, and he will be that, but he will be something else. He will be the Prince of Peace. Peace today, peace in the future. Peace today, peace eternally. He's the Prince of Peace. Imagine that. Jesus is divine. Jesus is human. And then he helps us live out our Christianity. And he reminds us from the Old Testament that he, the promised Messiah, would become the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. I wonder today, how many of you need to come and know that God is with you and God be with you? How many of your life today needs supernatural wisdom? Wisdom beyond what you can see. How many of you today need help in your battles? You need care compassionately. You need peace in your life today in the midst of the storms. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. That's what peace is. And God's presence is with you. The Prince of Peace lives in you. He is the Prince of Peace. There are many of you today, you need to come, and you might need to just simply kneel or stand here at the front today, and you need to talk to God about some of your battles, about some of your feelings, and you need to be wrapped in the power of Isaiah 9:6, that the wonderful counselor is with you. The mighty God is there to help you. That the everlasting Father is with you, and the Prince of Peace will abide with you. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. Pastors will be at the front, and they want to pray for you today. Come to them and let them pray for you today. And there are some here today who have never met Jesus. You may have think you have out-sinned your way outside of God's glory and outside of God's love. I say again to you, in Jesus' name, without any apology or without any doubt today, he is mighty to save. And he has the power to save you from your sin. How does that happen? You recognize that Christ died for you. You recognize that Christ was buried for you. And you recognize that Christ was raised for you. And you turn from the way you're living. And you turn by faith in Christ and Christ alone. And Christ will save you. He will come in your life, take away your sin, give you heaven when you die. He is a great, great God who loves you and wants to be with you forever and ever and ever. I want you to come today. He is mighty to save. You come to one of our pastors.